Hall & Wilcox acknowledges the traditional custodians of the lands on which this podcast is recorded. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and to all First Nations people joining us today.
Hi, and welcome to our Smarter Lawcast on business restructuring and being risk ready. In this episode, we're discussing how you can access the safe harbour during a business restructure to protect yourself from potential personal liability or debts incurred during the restructure. My name is Scott Butler, and I'm a partner in Hall & Wilcox's dispute resolution practice, specialising in restructuring and insolvency. Today, I'm joined by Mark Petrucco, who, like me, is also a partner in Hall & Wilcox's dispute resolution practice, specialising in restructuring and insolvency. Mark has a lot of experience in guiding and assisting directors through situations where their businesses are under severe financial pressure. In particular, he's advised directors about accessing the safe harbour against insolvent trading, which we're going to be discussing today. Mark and I are both members of Hall & Wilcox's restructuring and turnaround team, which focuses on assisting underperforming businesses to restructure their business affairs so that they can survive and thrive. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Scott. Really happy to be here.
Yeah, as I mentioned in the opening, whilst directors of a company are trying to restructure its business affairs to try and turn around the company's performance, they don't want to be burdened by the thought that if the restructure is unsuccessful, they might be lumped with personal liability for debts incurred during the restructure. And that's where the safe harbour against insolvent trading comes in. So, Mark, what is the safe harbour and what is it protecting directors against?
Thanks, Scott. It's probably easier to start with what it is trying to protect directors against. And that's insolvent trading liability. It's an exception to liability. Under the Australian Corporations Law, a director of an insolvent company is liable for debts the company incurs whilst insolvent, which remain unpaid if there were reasonable grounds to suspect the company was insolvent at the time the company incurred the debt, which the director was or should have been made aware of, and the director failed to take steps to prevent the company from incurring that debt. Typically, it is a liquidator of a company who is appointed to wind it up, who will look to pursue directors for insolvent trading in order to recover some funds for creditors. The safe harbour provisions protect against insolvent trading, and as the name implies, it protects the director against insolvent trading liability if the safe harbour regime applies when the company incurs the debt.
Thanks, Mark. Right, so when does the safe harbour against insolvent trading liability apply?
Well, first of all, you don't have to formally announce you're entering safe harbour or file a document at ASIC or the like. It is meant to be something that directors can access without their customers, staff or suppliers knowing. So to that extent, it's a confidential process. You may have dealt with companies whose directors have been in safe harbour without even knowing it. Before directors can even think about accessing safe harbour, the company needs to be doing two things: paying employee entitlements on time, lodging all tax returns, notices and statements, applications or other documents as required by taxation laws on time. You're allowed to miss paying or lodging on time only once in the prior 12 months. If you miss paying or lodging on time twice in the prior 12 months, you won't be able to enter the safe harbour, even if you meet all the other requirements, which we'll talk about later. Assuming that these requirements are met, safe harbour applies to a director if, after they start to suspect that the company may become or is insolvent, the director develops one or more courses of action that are reasonably likely to lead to a better outcome for the company than if it was immediately placed into voluntary administration or liquidation. Many things can be considered a course of action. It could be looking to negotiate a trade sale of the business or a sale of part of the business. It could be seeking to refinance at a lower rate or on better terms. It could be an operational restructure of the workforce, and so on. But as I said, whatever the course of action, it needs to be reasonably likely to lead to a better outcome for the company than if it was immediately put into voluntary administration or liquidation.
Thanks, Mark. You mentioned this term, better outcome for the company, but what is exactly meant by a better outcome for the company than if it was immediately put into voluntary administration or liquidation?
Well, there's no definition in the Corporations Act as what is meant by a better outcome for the company, but it's commonly understood to mean a better return to creditors overall.
Oh, okay. All right. So then when you say reasonably likely to lead to a better outcome, what does that mean? Does it mean on the balance of probabilities, or in other words, a greater than 50% chance? And how would a director measure that?
Good questions. There isn't any case law on this point as yet. And there hasn't been a case where a judge has had to consider what it means. So we go back to the explanatory documents that the Commonwealth Government provided when they introduced these laws back in 2017. They said that it does not require a better than 50% chance of a better outcome than the immediate appointment of an administrative liquidator. Rather, it requires the chance of achieving that outcome that would be fair, sufficient, or worth noting, as opposed to something fanciful or remote.
Okay. Well, I'm not exactly sure we know, you know, just what that means, but to me, as listening to that, it seems that something more than a fanciful or remote chance is actually a fair bit less than more than a 50% chance.
Yeah, that's right. And if a director is getting sued for insolvent trading, they bear the burden of proof of convincing a judge that the chances of the course of action achieving a better outcome for the company were reasonably likely. Safe harbour laws actually set out a list of things which a court may have regard to when considering whether the course of action was reasonably likely to lead to a better outcome. Those are: did the director properly inform themselves of the company's financial position? Did the director take appropriate steps to prevent any misconduct by officers or employees of the company that could adversely affect the company's solvency? Did the director take appropriate steps to ensure that the company kept appropriate financial records consistent with the size and nature of the company? Did the director obtain advice from appropriately qualified advisor or business who was given sufficient information to provide that appropriate advice? And did the director develop or implement a plan for restructuring the company to improve its financial position? The more of these things that a director can show to a court that they did, the greater the chance they'll have of convincing a court that the course of action they were taking was reasonably likely to lead to a better outcome. These are not mandatory, and so, in theory, you can still get in safe harbour without doing any of these, as long as a judge is convinced that your course of action was reasonably likely to lead to a better outcome for the company.
Thanks, Mark. That's a really good explanation. So you mentioned that the safe harbour starts when the directors start developing one or more courses of action. But when does it end? I mean, I presume it just can't, you know, you can't just start developing something and then stop and do nothing.
No, of course not. The safe harbour will end if the director fails to take the course of action they started to develop or developed within a reasonable period of time, or if the director stops taking the course of action, or if the course of action ceases to be reasonably likely to lead to a better outcome for the company, or upon the appointment of an administrator or liquidator to the company.
So you effectively, you just can't start a course of action and then, you know, take your eye off the wheel, and you obviously then need to continue to monitor what's going on and make sure that that course of action is still reasonably likely to lead to a better outcome. What if you start on a course of action and it's not working out and you need to vary it or go with a plan B? In my experience, you can't plan for everything and no plan is static.
Sure. It's perfectly acceptable to amend or vary plans along the way, as long as each variation is reasonably likely to lead to a better outcome. It is not uncommon to have more than one course of action whereby directors are pursuing plan A, but also have a plan B, C or D, which are reasonably likely to deliver a better outcome for the company than the immediate appointment of an administrator or liquidator.
Okay, you know, that makes sense. So, Mark, we're only giving listeners here a relatively high-level summary today. Are there any good resources for directors to go to read more about insolvent trading and the safe harbour if they want to?
Yeah, that's right, Scott, there is. Good place to start to getting some guidance is ASIC's Regulatory Guide 217, and it's called Duty to Prevent Insolvent Trading, a Guide for Directors. Just Google ASIC, go to its media page, and you'll be able to find it and download a copy. While it used only to contain an explanation on insolvent trading laws, it was recently updated to include a good summary on the safe harbour laws as well. The best advice I can give directors is to come and get some good advice from one of their trusted advisors or ask their trusted advisor to point them to someone who could assist. I strongly recommend against trying to find someone just by looking on the internet. There are many dodgy people out there who are parading themselves as restructuring or safe harbour advisors, but who are not properly qualified and certainly not trustworthy.
Yeah, no, Mark, I couldn't agree more and absolutely endorse your comments about untrustworthy, unqualified advisors. So if a director has a person that they do trust and they get advice from, such as their lawyer or their accountant, they should definitely be the first point of contact. So, Mark, thanks very much for your insights today. Just one observation from me, I guess, to wrap this up. Safe harbour is a great way for directors to protect themselves from potential liability from insolvent trading, but it doesn't protect directors from other risks that they face where their business is in financial difficulty. You know, things like director penalties for certain tax debts, as we discussed on last week's podcast, or breach of other directors' duties, such as, for example, to act in the company's best interests. But if a director engages a good advisor to assist them through the safe harbour, that advisor will be able to advise them how to avoid, you know, all these other potential personal liabilities at the same time as assisting them to get within the safe harbour. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. As always, please get in touch with us if you have any questions. You can find our details on our website, which is hallandwilcox.com.au, or connect with us on LinkedIn. And if you enjoyed today's episode, then rate, review, or follow our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.
This podcast is not legal advice and should not be relied upon as such. You should always obtain legal advice about your specific circumstances.